Are all bats vampires? What civilization popped into the heads of men during the Roman Empire? Answers to these questions and more on this episode of
This Paranormal Life!
Hello!
Hey!
And welcome back to This Paranormal Life, the weekly comedy podcast where every Tuesday we get into a different paranormal case, a tale of a beast or a UFO or a cryptid or a ghost, and by end of that episode decide, in our professional opinion, whether we think it's truly paranormal or not. As always, you're being joined by me, professional paranormal investigator, Kit Greer Mulvenna, and this guy sitting across from me, my co-host Rory Powers. How are you doing today, Rory?
Doing great. A lot of interesting questions right at the start of the podcast here. What did the people of old become obsessed with? We don't know. What was on their mind in between hunting and gathering?
Yeah, like what did like middle-aged men get into before kind of vintage cars and golfing?
Yeah, I don't know. Picking up shiny rocks? Yeah. They're like, hey, come over to the cave tonight. I'll show you my shiny rock collection.
Yeah.
Some of these motherfuckers will blind you. It's like tiny suns.
Yeah, I think the only mainstay of the human psyche is just whatever era you live in, even if it is the Roman Empire, the era that so many men today wish they lived in, an arguably simpler time of excitement. I think even then, they probably look back just being like, man, caveman times, that was the real shit. That was when men were men, you know what I mean?
Can you imagine being in like the Stone Age and you go over to your buddy's house and he's like, hey, let me show you something real quick. And he opens up like, you know, unfoils a little basket of leaves and he's got a bronze axe in there.
Right.
And you're like, how did you even make this? And he's like, hey, they're saying it's the new age. They're saying in like 5-10,000 years, I don't know, everyone's going to be using bronze.
Yeah.
It's going to be the new thing. And there's people being like, you'll never take my stone. Stone is everything to me. This world is stone. You know?
Oh, so what? You hate stone workers now? You want stone workers to starve and die? You're a piece of shit. You know that? I know what you're saying, Rory. In the modern age, that's Bitcoin.
I don't think so.
In 5 to 7,000 years, people look back and say this was the Bitcoin age. and you know, and just simpletons like me or you that actually you probably do hold some Bitcoin. I don't hold any Bitcoin. They'll be like, these poor bastards were mentally living in the Stone Age. They couldn't get with the times.
I think a better historical comparison would be that Bitcoin is the meteorite that killed the dinosaurs. I think that's probably a little closer to what that is going to mean for society.
Yeah, it was a kind of digital Mount Vesuvius. It just kind of froze humanity in its tracks, destroying it instantly.
Hey, well, you know what's kind of cool? We've come a long way as monkeys, you know? It's been a long journey here. And despite all of our differences, all of those technological advances, we still love f***ing berries.
Not having sex with them.
No, just berries. Delicious, delicious berries.
Yeah.
You know, you can't beat them. I had a raspberry the other day, blew my mind.
Yeah, and as an adult,
tastes just like that raspberry candy I eat. It's crazy.
Yeah, and in so many ways, we really haven't moved on from being monkeys.
I love bananas.
I love bananas. They're not wrong about those. Have you ever seen that video of a monkey smoking a cigarette in a zoo?
No, that's
they
really
love
sad.
Nicotine just as much as Gen Z do. They just they don't have access to Zin yet, but they love smoking. Rory. Obviously, we're not here to talk about monkey smoking or indeed orangutan smoking. We're here to talk about the paranormal. And that's what we're going to get into, a brand new paranormal case for you today. I say let's just get into it. Reminder to the listeners, if you're watching on YouTube, hello, mum. You can watch us full video on Spotify and YouTube. Head over to patreon.com/thisparanormallife to get hundreds of exclusive episodes available nowhere else in exchange for a few bucks for supporting the show. Check it out. Rory, today's case begins at 4 a.m. on a foggy forest track in Georgia, USA.
Whoa, okay.
It's 1976, and Edward Tinney and a fellow park ranger stroll along the remote Glen Kelly Road in Chickamauga National Park.
Ah, it sure is peaceful out here, ain't it?
We don't have a record of Edward's companion's name, so we're calling him Bill.
Bill! Bill, it is.
Sure is, Ed. Just the stillness, the trees, the old forest trails. Yeah, I'd take this life over an office job any day. No paperwork, no uncomfortable office chairs, no malevolent spirits in sight.
Wait, what was that last one?
Yep, this is the life for me.
What's that up in the trees?
Just ahead, Edward spotted a strange glow.
Two green eyes pierced through the fog. Then a figure gradually moved into the trail and came towards them.
Heavens to Betsy! What in the world is that? Let's get out of here, Ed!
Just a second. It's coming towards us.
The figure slowly approached along the trail, and Edward stood frozen with curiosity. In an official account later, he wrote,
"The eyes. I'll never forget those eyes. They were glaring, almost greenish-orange in color, flashing like some kind of wild animal. The teeth were long and pointed like fangs. I didn't know whether to run or scream or what. The headlights of an approaching car came blazing through the fog, and the thing disappeared right in front of me."
Rory, that is right. Hot off the trail of our Appalachian episode just a few weeks back, we're dropping right back into this region to look at a specific spooky case. A case that definitely wasn't missed during my research for that episode. No. Instead, I for sure knew about it and simply withheld it because I knew it would be the most terrifying story yet.
Right, it deserves its own case.
Exactly.
That's why we're heading back. Hey, let me tell you right now, first off, what's the name of this individual?
Edward Tinney.
Edward Tinney. Guy stood his ground. I respect that.
Yeah.
You know, I've been a paranormal investigator for a long time, but hey, you've worked with me out in the field. I'm the first one out of the house.
Yeah.
As soon as a door moves by itself or I hear a creak of the floorboards, I run out the front and lock it from the outside, offering up the rest of the team as a sacrifice.
Yeah. They call him Usain Bolt of the paranormal world. And it's not for his love of McDonald's chicken nuggets, okay? It is because he is the fastest thing on two legs out of that house. Yeah, it's true. You know, it's easy to sit here and talk a big game, to talk about what we should do and shouldn't do. It's a different thing when you're staring down the barrel of a grizzly.
Yeah. Every time Kit and I investigate a paranormal location, I offer to be the getaway driver. They don't realize I'm the only driver that gets away. That's my job.
That's what that means.
That's what it means to me. I drop them off and go. That's it. Yeah. So I respect anyone who sees glowing eyes in a bush and doesn't run the other way.
Yes, it turns out that Rory Powers isn't the only scary creature to come out of Georgia. Edward's testimony is one of the best known encounters of old green eyes.
Ugh.
Maybe it wasn't clear in my accent. That's not so much a like old, physically old green eyes. It's more of a old green eyes.
Oh, right.
O-L apostrophe green eyes.
I see. Okay.
And as we'll discover, Edward Tinney was in no way the first to encounter old green eyes. Sightings of a similar creature had been reported for many years. So what kind of phenomena are we dealing with?
I always love it when a cryptid is named after just one defining characteristic. Like Spring-Heeled Jack, old green eyes. Me, Rory Sixpack.
Yeah.
Rory.
I've never heard that one.
Rory Seven Inch. You know, just like these nicknames that are based off of just very defining characteristics.
So what was that last one?
Rory Seven Inch.
Yeah.
I don't think we need to go into the details.
That's
but obviously
like your Subway order or something? What's that about?
Yeah, that's exactly what it's for.
I know what you... Can we get an extra... I'm a little hungrier than the 6-inch.
Yeah.
Can I just get an inch off the other half of the 6?
Yeah. 7-inch Subway tuna melt for the guy with the 2-inch dick? Yeah, right here. For Mr. 2-inch?
Yeah, you know, whenever they write down those like characteristics about people, you know, it's like, oh yeah, a blue jacket. Yeah. They're like, yeah, 2-incher. It is tough for men, isn't it? Like going through life, constantly being reassured that size doesn't matter. And then Subway comes along.
Right.
And everyone universally agrees that 6 inches is not enough. Like everyone's like, I mean, it's fine, but like, you're not really satisfied, you know? You know, Subway can try to convince us with the meal deals, though. It's not about the size, it's about what you do with it, what's in the sandwich.
Yeah.
Sometimes, though, you just need the whole hog. All right, let's go. Now, testimonies come from a range of staff and visitors to Chickamauga Park. Like Edward Tinney's description, the reports typically described old green eyes as being human-like, with eerie green eyes and a huge deformed jaw from which terrifying fangs protrude.
Oh, I don't like the description of this thing.
Let's not beat around the bush. Let's hear another sighting. Reddit user ActiveEducator8846
posted that wandering around the same forest park with friends at 1:30 a.m. on Halloween Eve, good Lord, they described coming across Old Green Eyes in a clearing. Quote, there in the middle of the pasture was a translucent figure of a man. You could see the tree line on the other side right through this thing. The eyes are why he's called Green Eyes, because that's exactly what they were.
All right, yes. No, I do understand. I think maybe going forward we can focus on that. He's a ghost?
Mate, pupils were bright green. Like if you look at dog eyes from a certain perspective, they have this eerie green / see-through look. Kind of lost
about
me.
Talk about the ghost shit! They're like, his eyes were so weird that they looked like the eyes of animals we know exist.
You don't understand. This thing is like staring into the eyes of Cillian Murphy himself. You
another
get lost.
Man, a man, yeah, a human.
You get lost. Something happens, okay?
It's translucent, yeah. Brother. It doesn't exist in our world.
Maybe. So that all the more reason to look, hey, my eyes are up here, pal. Because there's all to look at below the waist.
They're like, his jacket was weird, like old and brown, but like a little green in places. He's a ghost! It's translucent!
He was wearing a model of Fitbit I've not seen before, if that
And
makes
I could see
sense.
On the display 13,000 steps, but that seemed it was improbable.
It was only 8 in the morning, so unless you've been walking all night.
Yeah, we're focusing on very strange things here.
They go on. There he stood while the hair on our arms stood. All right, okay. Calm down, goddamn English major ass. It took one step towards where we were. We all turned around and sprinted back towards our makeshift campsite. Oh, this might have been Rory. Rory, that's it. What do you think this thing sounds like?
I honestly have no idea. It sounds like we're talking about some kind of ghost. Or phantom, yeah. Or specter, because it's translucent. But this might be the first time we've had something like this with eyes like this. Usually if it's a ghost, they kind of, all of them is a ghost, including the eyes.
Yeah.
So I really don't know what's going on here. Also, what's going on with the jaw? So I heard you mention a weird jaw before.
Yeah, with fangs. I know that this really does kind of confusingly straddle cryptid and spirit.
Yeah.
I know what you mean about the singular identifying feature of green eyes, like Spring-Heeled Jack, like fill in the blank, because it kind of scratches a horror movie itch, right? Or something, you know, the horror movie mantra, don't show the monster.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it pops the, you know, nothing is scarier than what we're conjuring in our subconscious and in our imaginations. The moment you show the monster in the movie, you condense all the loose ideas into one kind of flat image. And so it goes here. The fact that we can only see its green eyes is nothing's creepier than that.
There is truly nothing more terrifying than the human mind. You know, last night I just had the random thought of a spider wearing a hat. You know,
yeah.
And honestly, well, the implications of that are terrifying. Does he have a job? He's getting ready to go to work.
Is it a Victorian hat? You know, that he's like an old timey gentleman. Is it like a new era Yankees fitted?
Yeah. What does this mean?
Does he live in New York?
Yeah.
Does he ride the subway?
How conscious is he? How, if he even put on jeans, where would he put them? He has so many legs.
Yeah.
Would he need a pair of Levi's that has 8 legs? Would the denim go around his little spider body?
If he had to wear the belt, where would it attach to?
And at this point, I realized I wasn't going to sleep that night, which is with these thoughts living in my head of a spider wearing jeans.
I made a pot of coffee and I started drawing. I just started ideating, just brainstorming. I emailed the Pentagon. Urgent, please read.
Look, I get it. Sometimes what we can conjure up in our own minds is more terrifying than what we see. In this case, maybe not.
This is like like H.P. Lovecraft, the generational master of horror writing himself.
Yeah.
That's why he'd be like, "Oh, you want me to describe it? Indescribable."
Yeah.
Indescribable.
Beyond imaginable.
Yes. Oh, the horrors beyond comprehension. So don't even attempt to comprehend it. Yeah. That is lazy writing. And yet it worked because Because we're like, oh, shit, you can't even think about it? That is scary.
Yeah, I think it's famously Cthulhu. They're like, it is beyond human imagination. It transcends the horrors of our world. And then I think someone drew him and we're like, it's an octopus.
It's a big guy.
It's a really big octopus. Octopus
head kind of thing. Sure. Yeah.
Like a dude with an octopus head, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I could think of that. I thought of a spider in jeans, Mr. Lovecraft.
Lovecraft would have been a great, like, startup CEO, just great at the pitch.
Yeah.
You know?
And he's like, I don't know, let the nerds do it.
Yeah.
Let the nerds draw the cover.
It's like, so what's your idea, Mr. HP? And he's like, our app is going to change the world beyond comprehension. They're like, mother of God.
What's the app? What's the app for, Mr. Lovecraft?
It's, and stay with me here. A marketplace for hats for spiders.
Oh, no!
do you see any other verticals within this industry, sir? We're looking at jeans next. We're looking at jeans. We think it's a huge market.
Do you see any other verticals in this industry? Well, I think the our clientele are going to go up the water spout, possibly back down. When along comes the rain, we'll see.
We're expecting market pressure from rain to cause those spiders to. So waterproof jeans for spiders.
Luckily, our clients are itsy bitsy, so I don't see a ton of overheads and material costs.
But Rory, what is this thing? Is it a creature like people are describing, or is it more like a spirit or a ghost? But maybe an even better question would be, why the is it in Chickamauga Forest?
Yes, great questions.
Why is Old Green Eyes specifically attached to this one location? The answer to that question may lie 160 years ago.
Goddamn.
September 20th, 1863. After a day and a half of brutal fighting, General George H. Thomas rallies the scattered U.S. Army units around Chickamauga Creek and forms a defensive line on Snodgrass Hill.
With valor, men, defend this line in the name of freedom, in the name of the Union Army!
Whilst George H. Thomas's brave defense of the position was a success in many ways, earning him the nickname the Rock of Chickamauga, ultimately it only served to slow the advancing Confederates. By nightfall, this had become one of the Union forces' biggest defeats of the entire Civil War.
Yikes.
The Battle of Chickamauga would be the second bloodiest battle of the entire conflict, combined casualties numbering 34,000 people.
Whoa, okay. Because I learned a little bit of American history growing up because my dad taught it to me. But obviously, American history really isn't something you learn when you're not in America.
Sure.
We learned Irish history growing up. And, you know, about like the famine and the troubles and all that sort of thing. So my understanding of the severity of the Civil War is very limited to the point where you could have said this was the bloodiest battle and 34 people died.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have questioned that. I really don't know the scale of this thing. So 34,000 is a lot.
Yeah.
I think there were like 50,000 people in America at the time.
Yeah, there wasn't a ton.
Yeah, well, compared to now, surely.
What was that? I mean, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the Great Fire of London, and they were like, all of London burned down, all 2,500 homes. Right. It's like, what?
Yeah.
There's like 9 million people now.
Yeah.
That's crazy. But of course, we're not really talking about the Civil War, the battle itself. It's the accounts that circulated in the camps and field hospitals by the troops in the wake of that battle that is our focus.
In all my years, I've never known a scene like that in battle.
We're truly lucky to have escaped with our lives. It was a vision of hell out there. The smoke, the fire, the blood running through the forest.
And the green eyes.
Huh? And the what?
I saw something else out there, stalking amongst the bodies. Something unnatural, something evil, and I ain't the only one.
What you mean, green eyes?
Haven't you heard the rumors? Some say it was the specter of a dead soldier, now forever condemned to walk the battlefield. Others say it's something older, a demon lured to Snodgrass Hill by the blood, the death, and the destruction. You know, the old Cherokee for Chickamauga means River of Death? We weren't alone out there today.
Rory, it's in this chaos of the Civil War battlefield It appears to be where the legend of Old Green Eyes started.
All right. Hey, nothing we haven't seen before. We've talked about ghosts and phantoms appearing during the world wars, and various battles and important moments in humanity's history. So, you know, Confederate ghosts, that is a very popular subsection of the paranormal world. Granted, it's mostly people seeing the ghosts of soldiers many years after the war. I didn't know there were ghosts floating about during the war.
Yeah, that's another layer to things we weren't quite expecting. This is...
Like, whose side are you guys on?
Old Green Eyes is like, although I may look terrifying, I do largely agree with the civil rights movement that supports the freedom and emancipation of the slaves in North America.
It's like, oh, you're actually surprisingly chill.
Yes, now I'm going to kill you, though, for completely different demonic reasons.
Ah. The generals in the South are like, everybody aim for that man. And the soldiers are like, but sir, he's white. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, this feels like it's really ripe for one of those like fake historical AI images that shows like Old Green Eyes standing next to George Washington and the founding fathers of America all through history.
Like a Jedi ghost.
He's always been there. Yeah, yeah. Thomas Jefferson looks into the crowd, sees Old Green Eyes nodding. I will say, while we're talking about kind of horror movie tropes, I do really love, as far as paranormal theories go, that last theory espoused by Soldier Number One, that...
We'll never forget him.
There's some ancient
demon. Rest in peace, Soldier One.
As his wife and children called him. The possibility that this thing is some kind of ancient Beelzebub figure that was simply drawn to the area by the sheer death and destruction.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. If there's enough bloodshed in one area, especially one on possible ley lines or with a history of paranormal activity, you could summon something pretty bad.
Yeah. But whilst I like that death-hungry demon theory, some claim that Old Green Eyes is the ghost of a soldier whose head was blown off in cannon fire.
Oh, God.
This theory comes from the numerous sightings of nothing more than green eyes shining in the trees at night. This unfortunate soldier's comrades buried his body but couldn't find his head.
Got it. We're seeing just the head floating about. Okay.
Kind of a cool little paranormal logic to that.
Yeah, I like it.
And I think something we've seen before, we've seen in media, certainly, ghosts that maybe carry their head around. Classic Halloween costume.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so fair enough. The Civil War origins of Old Green Eyes and Edward Tinney's encounter in 76 are pretty fascinating. But do we have any other cases to examine? Well, indeed, we do. In 1980, the Northwest Georgia News reported on the strange experiences of a Fort Oglethorpe resident, Denise Smith.
I think I've been to Fort
Oglethorpe.
Yeah, it is hard to say.
A little bit of a tongue twister.
I have been there.
Really?
I think so. Yeah, yeah. No ghosts.
Okay.
If that's what you're looking for.
It is. It said that on a cold, foggy night, Smith was driving nearby after finishing her shift at Crystal Restaurant. She said, quote, "It was raining and foggy, so I was going real slow. I saw something big in the road about eye level. And all I could see were
I bet it was
big green eyes. You guessed it. It was so foggy I couldn't see a body. Then I got closer and closer and it just disappeared."
Ooh, that's a spooky one. I don't like that.
Pretty kind of classic boilerplate Scooby-Doo style sighting there. As the news reported, she always thought the tale of the ghostly green-eyed beast was a myth and would never have believed it in a million years. But now she says she won't step foot in the park after nightfall.
Okay, okay.
And in fact, the same news outlet also tells the story of Laura Gilstrap. A decade later in 1990, is this thing popping up every 10 years? I don't know, let's get into it. When Laura, another Fort Oglethorpe resident, was 16, she and a group of friends were enjoying a hayride through the battlefield. Taking a break at dusk, they spotted something unusual in the field nearby. Quote, "They spied a flaming torch that would disappear, then mysteriously reappear again. Suddenly, the kids heard a horse's hoof beat, and a skeleton in Confederate soldier's uniform appeared to dismount from a ghostly horse with green eyes
Gilstrap said? She said the skeleton constantly repeated the name Amy.
What is happening?
Before disappearing for good. Mic drop, my friends. What the actual F?
I don't know. I don't know. This is, I mean, in this story, it sounds like the horse has green eyes.
A cool plot twist.
Someone did say earlier he has a weird jaw. That could just be a horse's head. I don't know. I just don't know at this point.
That is kind of two ends of the spectrum of ghost experience. One is kind of, you know, low key, kind of believable in its banality.
Yeah.
You know, just you swear you see something in the distance, a set of eyes. You're squinting, getting closer and closer. It disappears. You're just not quite sure what you're left with.
Sure.
That's the experience at the start of the horror movie.
We like that one.
For sure. That's a nice little bit of exposition. Before you've even understood the lore of the creature, that's what someone sees. The latter one is kind of the last 8 minutes of the horror movie.
Yeah.
When shit is really kicking off. At this point, old Green Eyes lifts one of the teens by the throat, slits their throat with a musket.
Right. At this point in the movie, it's daytime.
Yeah.
They survive till the morning. Like, you can just see him.
Yeah. At this point, they're trying to now find a set of crystals to recite the curse that will banish him back to the netherworld.
Hey, we talk about it all the time. There's a sweet spot in paranormal encounters.
Yeah.
Of believability before it goes too far and swings the other way around. Someone's saying they saw an object in the night sky and it was glowing lights and then it disappeared without a sound. Amazing. Then people say the objects get a little closer. They saw it land. Ooh, okay. Well, then we're going to need some more evidence because where did it land? How did it affect the earth? Then you get the people who say his name was Jermichael. Similar to Jamar and Michael.
And Jumanji.
Jermichael.
I don't know if that was a common Civil War era name in Georgia. Jermichael.
The more intimate an encounter is, the less believable it becomes unless you have the evidence to back it up.
Sure.
Show me the bones.
She was 16.
Sure.
In the UK, the latest news is that we've actually, I believe, it's one of the only good things the current Labour government has done ever, mm-hmm. Is they're looking at, they're going to reduce the voting age to 16.
Yeah.
Which sparked a lot of conversation because a lot of countries talk about doing it. There's only a few countries in the world where you can vote at 16 in a general election. But it always sparks the same questions. At what age are you responsible enough to vote on the future of your nation?
Right.
And generally, conservatives want to keep that age higher because demographically, people with conservative values are usually older versus people who have leftist values usually want that age to be younger because young people are often more leftist.
Sure.
And I think it's cool that like it feels like sense has prevailed. Like, I think this is good for UK politics, which is insane, that maybe this will be a positive thing, letting young people finally have a voice on the future of the nation. This is the problem, though. This is the problem. 16-year-olds lie.
Sure.
16-year-olds, their brains are not fully formed.
Everyone lies, in their defense. It is not exclusive to age.
No, it is true. But I didn't give a f*** at 16, all right? I didn't give a f***.
Who am I voting for? Ronald McDonald. I don't care.
Yeah.
Pass me another beer I'm not allowed to drink.
Yeah, I'm going to butt chug a bottle of tequila and try and do a 900 on a skateboard. All right. That's what I get. That is my value system. All right. What party am I voting for? The house party in my parents' house tonight. All right. No one comes. That's the party I'm voting for. I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing they can vote. But it's funny, isn't it? It like really challenges. It's like, I can say, I think it's a great thing. Young people should be able to vote. At the exact same time, when someone says we have a great kind of paranormal witness testimony from, at the same time when someone says they have a great ghost sighting from a group of 16-year-olds drinking in a field, I'm like, all right, I think we're done here.
Hey,
I think we can move on.
Listen, at what age is someone able to be responsible for the future of their country? I'm going to say it should be younger than 16.
Okay.
For example,
nine. If you can build shit in Roblox, you can build weapons.
Yes.
For war.
You could do it. You should be able to have a say in what happens in this country.
All right.
When I was 7 years old, I was put in prison for 3 years for treason. All right. So I know a little bit about being responsible.
What did you do?
I tried to build a bomb in The Sims. And it turns out the government monitor the weird shit that you do in those games. All right. So they decided I was a threat to the nation.
I built a giant statue of Tony Blair and I burned it down in The Sims in a kitchen fire. And I got reported. I got reported to a terrorism unit.
So, yeah, I served my nation. Sure, I should say I served a nation, not mine, obviously.
So, I mean, we're kind of getting into theories for where this thing has come from. In an absence of solid paranormal proof, which we often see with anything that resembles a spirit, we kind of are left to just wonder about the thing. Edward Tinney, who was our first witness at the very beginning of the podcast, he did go on to comment very publicly about Old Green Eyes in the press. His opinion was that the war itself, the Civil War, had a kind of paranormal magnetism. He said, quote, "Wherever he's been, whether it's a Civil War battlefield or in Europe, where he fought in World War II, there are incidents and sightings that cannot be explained by human logic." Yeah, exactly what you said, Roy. We've seen it time and time again. Unfortunately, sometimes those tales are like the gremlins in World War II.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is really hard to take seriously. But there are also lots of really wild kind of trippy ones. Like we talked about it in an entire investigation we did into the ghosts of World War I. I mean, there's tales of like people, like one guy was allegedly woken in the middle of the night by a soldier who died like a week earlier and told to wander out into the middle of the battlefield. And then the next morning, he woke up to find where he had been sleeping had been bombed overnight, had been raided overnight. Weird, trippy ghost stories.
Yeah. Yeah. As we said, whenever you have a place like a battlefield where there's so much insane shit going on, you're going to hear some paranormal stories too.
Yeah.
Whether or not those are genuinely taking place or the human mind is so shattered by the harsh reality of war that just crazy things start to happen.
No, it's the first one. It's
real. It's the first one? Oh, okay.
It's paranormal. It's real.
Got it.
I will say, on at least one occasion, some paranormal experts have waded into the field, literally, to study this phenomenon. The Foundation for Paranormal Research did a study in October 2001. Nice that they did it in October, close to Halloween. And they camped out overnight trying to look for green eyes. Now, while they did report capturing photos of a ghostly mist and experienced feeling uneasy and surrounded during the experiment, they did not gather hard proof. I like that they felt surrounded, like the ghosts are still doing battlefield flanking maneuvers to this day. What I do know, of course, is that Old Green Eyes lore lives on in this area. Over the years, it's kind of developed, mixed and mingled with local tales and other Appalachian folk stories. And we always love it when we see this. The Green Eyes lore also lives on with the annual Green Eyes Festival held in downtown Chickamauga every October. With everything from paranormal vendors to live music, food and drink, this is 100% the next TPL staff trip. There is a fun example of someone dressing up as Old Green Eyes themselves.
Yeah, they got like a robe on and big. I mean, those green eyes are enormous.
Yeah.
I thought they were just like normal human eyes. These are like the size of I don't know.
That's bordering on Mothman eyes, I would say.
Huge. Yeah. Almost the size of like soccer balls. That's pretty cool though. I like it. And we are actually heading towards this direction pretty soon.
Hello. A little early, fair enough.
Sure.
But yeah, we're going to Georgia for the first time. First time, definitely.
Maybe they have some cool merch we could pick up nearby. I don't know.
Going for the first time, maybe the last time, if Old Green Eyes gets his hands on old Kit and Rory.
If Old Green Eyes gets his hands on Kit's visa.
Shreds it.
No.
You know, and I'll give the final word on Old Green Eyes to the festival themselves, who state on their website, "Some say it's a ghostly soldier." Phil, we need some emotional music here. "Some say it's a ghostly soldier wandering the battlefield. Others describe a heartbroken woman or even an elemental fae. The legend's ambiguity is what makes it
so compelling. Each sighting adds a new layer to the myth. Old Green Eyes is more than a spooky figure. It's a symbol of Chickamauga's storytelling tradition, creative spirit, and cultural revival. Oh, what a sweet load of horse shit. Because here on This Paranormal Life, a paranormal case is either real or bullshit. Okay? What are you saying today, Rory, in the case of Old Green Eyes?
Yeah. Oh, is it an old woman? Is it a horse? Is it the spirit of something that was lost or a soldier that was fallen? I'll tell you what it is. It's a no from me this week.
Oh,
how about that?
It's not a no. It's either real or horse shit.
That's horse shit, okay. Then, is what it is.
Oh, God damn it.
That is the opposite of what I like to hear. I don't think that makes the story more compelling, is that it could be 19 different things. That makes my story worse. You ever have a cocktail with 19 different things in it? It tastes like shit.
When someone says that a paranormal story is more than a tale, it's a symbol of a cultural revival. That's like going on a date and her saying, we're better off as friends. It's like, okay, there's nothing here then. That's a soft way of letting me down.
Right.
Let's move on.
Yeah, this is slightly disappointing. I was hoping we might have one last little bit of evidence, of which there was none today, just testimonies.
There was none.
No photos, no videos. You know, it's a ghost story, so what do you
expect? There was an artist's interpretation, which I didn't... I got stage fright about showing you because I was like, like, we've heard nothing to suggest that's what it looks like.
No.
So...
No.
But I guess that image is like, if it is the bloodthirsty demon.
Yes.
Of ancient lore.
Sure. You know? It's an artistic interpretation of one version of it.
I like that we also normally, when we do like a North American case, it almost always refers back to like a cool Native American legend. Mm. It's like, well, actually the story began 1,000 years earlier. I like that in this story, the Native American peoples are like, we ain't never heard of that shit. That's on
you guys.
We don't claim that one.
No.
So I don't know if that's fully true, but I do find it funny that there is a glaring omission of history from this.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we're just not dealing with enough evidence today to prove that this thing exists. I think a lot of people saw it during a lot of traumatic moments in history, and then a lot of other people saw it. One of them saw it on Halloween.
Yeah.
You know, in a field, 16 with their buddies. These aren't the kind of paranormal witnesses that we like traditionally on the show. So unfortunately, Old Green Eyes is going to be an old no from me this week.
It's an old double no. Once you put the two of us together. Sad to say, but really fun to get back to the Appalachia. You couldn't throw me one yes. You couldn't throw me, because we did the whole episode on Appalachia. We'd come back to Appalachia.
That's brave to go back.
No. So it is what it is, but we are very excited to set foot in Georgia and go have a look around. And I don't know, maybe Old Green Eyes will hear this. Maybe he uses an RSS feed and a podcast application.
Yeah.
And maybe he'll hear this and be pissed off and come to the show.
I think we're in the beautiful city of Atlanta for a wonderful 24 hours.
Max, yeah.
So we're going to have to... We've got to get those Krispy Kreme donuts. We've got to go to the Coca-Cola Museum.
Is Krispy Kreme Georgian?
Yes, it is. Oh. I believe it's from Atlanta. We got to go to...
this is all just sugar related so far.
We got to go to the Varsity, which is where they have the best ice cream, banana ice cream. Sugar. They make it with real bananas, which is pretty good if you want to go monkey mode. Tons of great stuff to see. Go see a basketball game. See the Hawks play. Go to Truist Park. Let's go to the Battery, brother. Go see a Braves game. Eat 9 hot dogs. Drink 9 beers in 9 innings. That's our 24 hours sorted.
Did I show you that the skate magazine, Jenka magazine, they did the 999 challenge for skateboarding? They did held an event in New York, and it was 9 hot dogs, 9 beers, 9 tri flips.
Oh, that's pretty good.
And it was who could do it first. And it was like $500 cash prize or
that's
something.
That's really fun.
And just to see a lot of wasted bros at 12 in the afternoon, like burping uncontrollably, throwing up.
I'm going to watch this.
It's good stuff.
Okay.
Can't wait to see that in Atlanta. And actually, at the time that this comes out, Rory, we're recording this before we go on tour, but actually this comes out halfway through tour. So we're probably in, we might even be in Atlanta as we speak, as people are hearing this.
That's crazy. That is really
nuts
crazy.
To think. If you are coming to see us on the road, thank you. If you've come to see us in our first few shows of the tour, hope you've enjoyed them. Hope your friends, family that you've brought weren't ultimately too confused or miserable about the experience. Hopefully they loved it.
Yeah.
And if you have not picked up a ticket for the rest of our dates, which is kind of, we started east and we're moving west. So if you are from kind of the Midwest to the West, there is still a chance to come and see us in places like Denver. And
never been to Denver in my life. That's a new one for me. Very exciting.
San Francisco and Los Angeles tickets are on thisparanormallife.com/tour. Links are in the description of this show, as well as our bios on social media.
Just a reminder as an incentive to pick up your tickets. You know, half of the people who have already seen the shows will know this already. But yes, a reminder, Kit is telling his virginity story as part of the live performance. So if you want to figure out how it happened 4 years ago, you're going to want to head over and pick up your tickets to this Paranormal Life Live.
I would disagree with that. I'm waiting to see how the final ticket sale numbers are in the run up to the tour before I agree to that. So I might do it. It's sad. And also at this point, UK tour has been announced. So all our UK and Irish dates are also on there. So if you are in the British Isles, if you're in Ireland, go check that out. We're coming to Glasgow, Manchester, London, Dublin for the first time ever.
Whoa.
What a cool little homecoming that will be.
Yeah.
Tickets are on there. So excited for those. Those dates are at the end of October for a little Halloween spooky session.
Hell yeah.
I hope you have enjoyed this investigation. Nonetheless, even though it did result in a double no, hope you've enjoyed this. I might have to cool it on Georgia for a while.
Leave these mountains.
Yeah.
For sure. Go anywhere
else.
Let's
try a new mountain range.
You could just do
anything. Mount Everest. I've done that. I've actually done that this year.
We've done a lot of mountains.
Yeah, a lot of mountains. What's that about?
Through the ocean. Flip it.
Under the sea.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
A Jamaican crab. Hello. What's that about? Yeah, lots to look into. We said at the beginning, patreon.com/thisparanormallife is the place to get all our bonus content, hundreds and hundreds of episodes over there for your listening pleasure, as well as other cool rewards for as little as $5 a month or your local currency. The website's the cheapest place to get it, on patreon.com/thisparanormallife. We also give a shout out to our patrons at the end of an episode.
That's true.
We round out with a couple?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's do it.
I'm going to be mean today, I decided. So sorry if you are one of the people who are getting their shout out today. Kit bringing a double no to the table has put me in a foul mood.
All right. Wow. About to just catch a stray.
Yeah. Apologies. Tough. It's nothing personal. Sometimes I just get like this. Kit knows. He's been on tour with me for 2 weeks. I assume I've hit him at this point. So, yeah, let's do it.
So, special thank you to David Duronso.
You, David. Oh,
that is so inappropriate.
You little weasel.
Small-minded.
You think coming here and giving us a couple coins is going to make up for the stuff that you've done to me
in the
past?
Quite a lot, actually. He's on a pretty high tier as well.
David was the man who reported me for building an explosive device in The Sims. All right?
You deserved it.
I didn't deserve it.
I'll be honest. I'm on David's side in all of this.
Why? Because I wanted to see what happens to Sims in the afterlife?
You committed domestic terrorism.
In a little digital world. It's fine. You can do it there. Stops you from doing it in the real one. Yeah.
You wanted to do it in the real one as well?
David, I'm kidding, of course. Thank you for your support. Hopefully we're seeing you at one of our live shows, either in the US or the UK.
Maybe.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed. We actually have all of your information here. We swiped it from your IP address whenever you signed up to Patreon. So we can find out now. Where does David live?
I don't know that.
I would like a house number. I would like to get real specific.
Let's move on, David.
I'm going to build his house in The Sims.
And only a couple today. Thank you, lastly but not leastly, today to Nikki Lee.
Nikki Lee, go f*** yourself. Right. Nikki, I told you I was in a bad mood and you still decided to support us on Patreon. This one's on you, Nikki.
Yeah, they did it a while ago, probably, and now they're only hearing about it now.
Well, have you got something nice to say? You want to do one of our little jokes? Oh, Nikki, you're so fine. You're so fine. I'll blow your house up on The Sims. How about that, Nikki? How about that?
At least he said you're fine. That's good.
You're fine. That's
you're
it.
You're right. You're fine, as in it's just acceptable.
Who sang that song? Oh, Nikki, what a pity you don't understand. You know that? Remember that song?
Jesus. Yeah.
Hey, Nikki.
Know. It's Mickey. You know that, right?
What?
Yeah.
You just blew the sim in my mind.
You know
mind.
Who sang that? Minnie. That's who sang that. You know who thinks Mickey's fine? Minnie.
Hey, oh, it is Hey Mickey, isn't it?
Yes.
Hey Mickey's song. Sorry.
You thought it was Nicky?
Sorry, Nicky.
You idiot.
All right.
You moron. All Nicky right. is laughing at you.
Well, so
from
Nicky,
behind their keyboard.
I thought Nicky was fine. So you're telling me it's Mickey's
this is
fine.
Ridiculous.
So, sorry about that. Apologies. I had you confused for a person who reported me to the police for detonating houses in The Sims. So I guess you're cool.
Thank you, Nicky. And thank you to everyone supporting us this week. We are going to be back with more shout outs next week, along with hopefully a case that will bring us a double yes. We might have a chance at that because Rory's hosting, not me.
And I got a banger for you next week. Let me tell you, I already know what it is. It's written and everything.
Well,
it's ready to go.
You do know what it is because we've already recorded it. So thank you for listening. We'll be back next week. See you on the road and see you back here for another Paranormal Tale.
Bye-bye.